morning will be Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Well, good morning.
Good morning,
brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we're certainly glad that you're here with us. We're always thankful for visitors, and we hope that you'll come back and meet with us again. I'm always thankful for these opportunities. As we are Christians, as we become Christians, we certainly go through a transformation. The Bible tells us that, we become a new creation. And I think sometimes what we forget from time to time is that we have to remain committed to that new man and that new creation. Because if we don't stay committed to that new man and new creation, what happens is the temptation of going back, falling back to the old man. And as Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, I think he's trying to remind them not only of the dangers of the world, but to remind them that they have to keep off that old man. That old man, if they put off, that old man that needs to stay off. And what we realize is as we go through this life, that we have to remain committed to that new man. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is staying committed to the new man and realizing that the life that we have upon ourselves as we go through this life is a life of substitution. A life that as we go through, we have to acknowledge and see where the bad is in our lives and substitute those things out. The first thing I think Paul is trying to get at us, and the idea that he's trying to get across to us, is that we have to stay committed to the new man. Let's look at that passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." This idea that we are new and that we have to put off the old. The idea that a Christian should be getting better and better each and every day, and to some degree this idea that we should be newer and newer each and every day as our mind and our actions and our life is conformed to the teaching of Jesus Christ. Certainly Jesus is not after perfection. He knows what he's dealing with. He knows that we are not perfect individuals, but we must remain committed to the idea that we are new creations, that we are the new man, and that we will not go back to that old man and the things that the old man did. God is not after perfection, but certainly we have to stay committed to the new man and doing the things that we know God would want us to do. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, the picture that it paints for us here gives us this idea that we are not ourselves anymore, that certainly we are something new and different. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." This idea that I'm not myself anymore, that I'm something new, And what is new about us is that Christ lives in us. The teachings of Christ, the practices of Christ, the doctrine of Christ is supposed to get into our minds and conform our lives and our actions in the way that God would want it to be. It leads our minds in a changing and conforming way to God's will. Not our will, not the way that we would want to live, but that we are committed to the new man, committed to the Christian that we are, to do those things that God wants us to do. The battle of the mind is so important. Where does your mind linger? Where do your thoughts go? And certainly the Bible gives us this idea that not only are our actions new, but certainly our mind must be new as well, and constantly changing and constantly conforming to the will of God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The new man has a new mind. The new man has new actions. The new man has a new way of handling situations throughout their life. Do you handle things in a new way? Do you handle things the same way that you've always handled them throughout your life? Or do you handle them the Bible way? Certainly throughout our lives we'll find ourselves in all different kinds of situations, and we have to ask ourselves, are we going to handle this the way we used to handle it? Or are we going to handle it the way that the Bible would want us to handle it? The question I think that we have to ask ourselves is, do you think you're the same Christian today as you were yesterday? Or is there a constant growing? Is there a constant growth? Is there a constant conforming our lives to the will of God and not our own? Staying committed to the new man and developing each and every day to be better than we were yesterday. Has your mind changed from the time that you first became a Christian? Have your actions changed from that time that you first became a Christian? Has your life changed from that decision of being obedient to the words of God and becoming a Christian? Or are you still the same? Are you still the old man? Are you still doing those old man type things that old man are supposed to put off? Is your mind still the same? Is your action still the same? Is your life still the same? Or are you still staying committed to the new man which God wants us to be? In Romans chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Do you remember that commitment that you made when you went into the watery grave of baptism? That your old man was crucified with Christ, and that when you rose from that watery grave of baptism, that you were saying, "I am a new man, and I am going to stay committed that sin stays out of my life." Certainly you know we're not perfect, but are you committed to the new man? Or are you still committed to the old one? Do you still like the old one? Do you like the way the old man talks? Do you like the way the old man thought? Do you like the way that the old man conducted himself or herself? Are you committed to that one that God wants us to be committed to? Certainly things change when we become a Christian. But does it mean that we stop? Do we stop our commitment to the new man? I think the Bible gives us a warning in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 10, I believe it gives us a warning. It says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are of the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." Are you committed to the new man? Or do you sink back into your old habits of the old man? Are you committed to the new man? Or do we think that once we become a Christian, our life stops? There's no more progress to be made. There's no more growth that's needed. We can just stop right there. Once we become a Christian, we're all good. We're new now. But we have to stay committed to the new man. Because certainly when we become a Christian, our sins are washed away. That doesn't mean we're perfect individuals, and it certainly doesn't mean that there isn't room for growth and progress in our lives. Are you the same Christian you were yesterday? Are you the same Christian you were when you came out of the watery grave of baptism? Or can you look at your life and say, I'm committed to the new man, of eliminating the things that God wants me to eliminate out of my life, that I'm trying to be better each and every day, in my prayer life, in my study, in the way that I'm growing? Are you committed, or have you just thrown in the towel? Are you committed to the new man? And if you are, then there's some things that we have to do. See, if you're this new creation, this new man, it doesn't stop there. We have to continue on. And where does it continue on? It continues on with the idea that we have to recognize sin. Well, where do we see that? Well, we see it in the same passage that we're going through in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. He continues on and he's giving this idea that we have to recognize sin. If we're going to stay committed to the new man, we have to be able to recognize sin. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 27, it says, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. See, if we're going to put away lying, don't we have to be able to recognize what a lie is? How can we say that we're committed to the new man if we're not committed to recognizing sin around us in the world, but in ourselves? If we can't recognize sin in ourselves, we're going to have a problem of staying committed to this new man and developing and growing as we go throughout our lives. It says, therefore, putting away all lying. Well, what is a lie? If we don't know what a lie is, we're certainly going to have trouble trying to get that out of our life. In verse 27, it says, nor give place to the devil. Certainly, Christians, as we go through this journey of life, we are going to have a hard time staying committed to the new man, improving this new man, growing better and stronger as a Christian each and every day, if we cannot discern between good and evil. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of youth have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can you discern what good and evil is? Because if you can't distinguish between good and evil, it's going to be hard as we're going throughout this life, as we stay committed to the new man, to know what should be in our life and what shouldn't be. If we cannot discern between good and evil, can you discern between good and evil? Because certainly our world is flipping so many things upside down, where good is called evil and evil is called good, and the Bible warns us you have to be able to recognize sin. Because everyone's running around in our society saying that sin is good in so many cases. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And as we go throughout this list, we'll see that our society is full of individuals that go to this list, not necessarily this list in the Bible, but they start saying, these things are okay. These things are acceptable. These are things that you can be a Christian and be involved in. But the Bible says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulteresses, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If we are going to stay committed to this new man throughout our life, we have to be able to recognize sin. We have to be able to discern between what is good and what is evil. And if we cannot, the new man is going to slip very quickly back into the old man. Because we won't even take the time to acknowledge where sin is. Sin in the world, but more importantly ourselves. Can you acknowledge sin in yourself? Because if we're going to stay committed to our new man, we have to be able to see at in ourselves and see where the sin is so that we can start making substitutes. Certainly putting away sin is important. It's an idea that Christians have to stay committed to, that they have to be able to recognize sin. The psalmist said in Psalm 32 and verse 5, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. Can you acknowledge your sin? Can you acknowledge your fault? It's not that God is after perfect individuals, but He's after committed individuals who are saying, I'm trying to be better each and every day. Then I will take the time to read my Bible, find where the sin is in my life, recognize it, be able to discern between good and evil, and try to get the sin out of my life. One step at a time, one day at a time, I'll become better each and every day as I try to eliminate the sin out of my life. The psalmist wrote Psalm 51, verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Can we acknowledge the sin? Can we acknowledge our weaknesses? Can we acknowledge the areas in our lives where we need help and assistance from God? God knows we're not perfect. That's why in John chapter 8 and verse 7, when all these people are making the accusations about this woman, in John chapter 8 and verse 7, he says, so when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. God knows what He's working with. He knows that we're not perfect individuals, but if we're staying committed to the new man, the Christian that we are, we have to be able to recognize sin in our lives and then try to get it out of our lives as soon as possible. It's not like this transformation happens overnight. It's not like once this transformation happens, we can give up and not stay committed to the new man. God knows that we are flawed. But that doesn't mean we can give up on our commitment to grow and to recognize sin and try to improve in our lives to become better individuals and servants of our Lord. And God is willing to help us with this process. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God knows that we're going to need help through this process. God knows that Kyle is going to need help through this process. Ever since I became a Christian, it's not that I've been a perfect individual, but I try each and every day to stay committed to the new man, to improve myself, to study God's Word, to recognize where my faults are, where my issues are, where my problems are, and try to eliminate those from my life. And God is with me every step of the way, rooting for me, and when I slip up and I admit those mistakes, God is there to help and to assist me in every way that He can. See, it's a process that we go throughout this life to grow. But we are not going to grow, particularly into this new man that God wants us to be, if we cannot recognize sin. I like what it says in verse 27 in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, nor give place to Satan. Don't give place to Satan in your life. Because what many people will try to do is they stay committed to this new man and they'll try to eliminate sin, but they'll leave a void. And when you leave a void in your life, what happens is Satan will slip back in. Is that when we try to eliminate things out of our mind, we have to substitute it with something else. And if we don't, we leave a spot for Satan. A spot for Satan to sneak back into our lives, back into our relationships, back into the workplace, wherever we find ourselves. If we don't substitute the good in for the bad, we will have problems as we go throughout this life. It says, nor give place for Satan. Well, how in the world are we going to do that? We have to find a substitute for the bad. But you're not going to find a substitute for the bad in your life if you won't acknowledge or recognize the sin in your life before you move on. You have to recognize the trash before you can get it out of your life. You got to recognize the trash before you can get it out of your house. Now the problem is, in many of our households, is that we have a differing opinion when it comes to the trash. There's some things that I want to throw away that my wife says, let's hold on to that. We don't agree on what the trash is, but the Bible, when it comes to our spiritual lives, the Bible tells us what the trash is in our life, and the Bible says, get it out! Will we agree with the Bible and say, get the trash out of our lives? Will we agree with the Bible and try to get the sin out of our lives? It's not that we're going to be able to throw it all out in a day, but certainly we can work throughout our lives and say, this is something I need to get out of my life, let me throw it out. This is something I need to get out of my life and throw it out. But if you don't substitute, if you don't have a substitute for it once it leaves, you know what happens? Is you fill your house right up again. You fill your mind right up again. Is that once we throw the trash out, we have to find a substitute. I think we see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 through 32. Is that God is giving a substitute for all these bad behaviors that are so many times we find in our own lives. He's giving us a substitute. He's saying, recognize the sin, but not only recognize it, throw it out of your life, and substitute it with something else. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 through 32. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 28 through 32, it says, "Let him who soul steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." What's the problem? This person has a problem with stealing. But the Bible doesn't say just stop stealing. The Bible says stop stealing and then labor with your hands that you have something to give. The Bible gives a substitute. But the Bible continues on. It says, "Let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." It says you need to get the corrupt language out of your life. But what do you need to substitute it with? Well, words that are edifying, that are going to bring up those people that are around you. God, once again, gives a substitute. Get the corrupt language out, but substitute it with good language, basically. In verse 30, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." He gives this big long list of bad things that should not be in the Christian's life, all these activities that a Christian should not be involved in. Christians, it says bitterness. Christians should not be bitter. Wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, but then he gives the substitutes. Well, what are the substitutes for these things? Well, instead of being bitter and having wrath and clamor and evil speaking, you know what you need to do? Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, you need to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave you. God gives the substitute. But I fear what many people do is they try to get the sin out of their life, which they certainly should do, but they never substitute it. I'm going to get the bad language out of my life, but I'm not going to bring the good language in. You know, I'm going to get the stealing out of my life, but I'm not going to substitute it with what will eliminate stealing out of my life. See, staying committed to the new man is being resolved that throughout our lives we will recognize sin, and not only will we recognize it, but we will find the substitute. And what I find throughout the Bible is really that is what the Bible is. It's telling us that we have a life of substitution on our hands. What do you mean a life of substitution? A life of getting the bad out and the good in. And certainly it's a challenge because you know what the world's trying to do? It's trying to ram the bad in every single day. When we look on television, when we look at the media, when we look at all the things that are around us, the world, Satan is working very hard to ram all of the bad into our lives. And we have to stay committed and say, no, I'm going to keep the bad out. And not only am I going to keep the bad out, but I'm going to bring the good in. Will you stay committed to the new man? Certainly, we must grow. Certainly, we must show ourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." There's a growing process. Have we forgotten about the growing process? So we ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? He wants us to recognize sin in our lives, get it out of our lives, and substitute the good in it. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper." In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, "He who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." We have to forsake the sins in our lives. We have to run away from the sins in our lives. And certainly, I think that's the idea that we see throughout the Bible. If we have to get the sin out, it's not that we're perfect individuals. It's not that we're going to live perfect lives. It's not that we're going to not have problems where we fall short as we solidly do each and every day. But it's the commitment of recognizing and making substitutions. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin." These things I write to you so that you may not sin. Why are they writing all of these? Why do we have the Bible? So that we can distinguish between right and wrong, and we can get the wrong out of our lives and substitute in the truth. There's so much evil and bad in our world, and certainly it's trying to influence every day. The works of the flesh, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfful ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revilers, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This life, where we're committed to the new man, of getting better and better each and every day, and trying to eliminate and push the sin out of our lives. You know, a lot of times they'll give people the best practice to eliminate bad habits. And a lot of times, my dad's worked with a lot of different individuals throughout his teaching career. He worked a little bit with in the prison, in the educational system there, and then he worked with youth. Juveniles, and he said that one of the things that they were always supposed to tell him is you got to find substitutes for your bad habits. Because if you don't find a substitute, what they'll do is they'll just go back to those behaviors that they were doing. It doesn't matter if we're talking about addictive substances such as drugs and alcohol, but also just the way that they're doing, how they're living their lives, is that if you don't find a substitute, they're going to go back to it. Yeah, you can take them and you can isolate them for a time from their gangs or whatever they're involved in, but if you don't find a substitute, they're going to have that void in their life, they're going to go back. You've got to get something in there and fill their lives. And certainly Jesus will fill our lives like nothing else ever could. He will fulfill our lives. But you can't leave a void. And that's what many people try to do, is they try to eliminate a bad habit, but they never try to substitute something in new to help with the new habit. Also, they tell you to eliminate triggers. And certainly that's what Christianity tries to do. What it tries to do is it tries to get us thinking differently. That our mind is conformed to the things of God and not to the things of this world. That those triggers are eliminated because of the way we think. I think the Bible encourages us to get away from certain company that would lead us. Evil company corrupts good morals. The Bible is on our side and trying to lead us away from a life of sin by substituting out the bad so that we can bring in the good. Can we surround ourselves with people that will help us with that? Certainly, I think the Bible encourages that. When we're here today, we're around people who want to live the way that we would want to live, and that helps us. We can start visualizing the new man the way that we need to be, the way that we want to be throughout our lives. But certainly when it comes to this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, I think Paul is writing to Ephesus and he's trying to remind these individuals. He says, stay committed to the new man. He said there's going to be people all around you doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't be doing, but stay committed to the new man. Keep that old man off. Put off the old man. Put off those things. And how are you going to do that? You're going to have to be able to recognize sin in your life, and not only recognize it, but find a substitution. And the Bible gives us substitution after substitution. When we look at things in the Bible, a lot of times they're just plainly opposite. You can murder or you cannot. I mean, a lot of them are just opposite. Do this, don't do this. Very simple, very laid out in such a way that we can easily understand and we can implement throughout our lives if we stay committed. It's not easy to stay committed each and every day when other people around us are doing all kinds of things that we know are against God's will. But we have to stay committed to the new man. We have to recognize sin and we have to get the sin out of our lives. Will we recognize the trash in our lives and will we sub in the truth? Because if you recognize the trash and you just stop there, that's not really going to help you too much. But if you recognize the trash and you take the step of taking the trash out of your life, I'd say that you're making a mistake if you stop there as well. You have to find a substitution, a godly substitution for those things in our lives. He says those of you who are stealing, you need to steal no longer, but rather labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him that is in need. God is telling them, stay committed to the new man. How are you going to stay committed? You've got to recognize sin, and not only recognize sin, get it out of your life and make this appropriate substitution in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Will we make the substitutions in our lives? Certainly for lack of substitution, we realize that we're not perfect individuals. If we were perfect individuals, we wouldn't need Jesus and his blood and his forgiveness. But will you stay committed to the new man throughout your life? will you continually make progress, or will you fall into a rut where you just realize that I'm the same Christian I was yesterday? I haven't made progress. I haven't moved forward. I'm not recognizing the sin and faults in my life and trying to make substitutions as God would want me to do. Perhaps you need to become a Christian. Maybe you need to go through that process and become a new creation, the new man. And then throughout your life, you have to stay committed to that new man. You can't give it up. You have to recognize sin, and you have to make those substitutions as needed throughout your life. If you're subject to Lord's invitation, or you need the prayers of the church, this time is for you. Perhaps you've heard the gospel, you believe it. You know you need to repent, confess, and be baptized. We'd love to help you any way we can. If you'll please come as we stand and as we sing.